أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي يا على الصلاة
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, promotion, recognition, elevation, that is worthy of pursuit. Recognition and promotion that carries value is recognition and promotion in the court of Allah. Elevation in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the Sahaba and by extension the Ummah a lesson in how to acquire this promotion. How to acquire elevation before Allah, recognition in the court of Allah. This lesson was in the form of a personality by the name of Uwais al-Qarni rahimahullah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam designated and he selected a very special title for Uwais rahimahullah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described him as khayru tabi'in. He said in a hadith, khayru tabi'in rajulun yuqalu lahu Uwais, the best amongst the tabi'in. Who are the tabi'in? The tabi'in are the indirect companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the companions of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who did not meet the Nabi of Allah. Uwais rahimahullah, he was a man from Murad, a descendant from the Murad tribe, an Arab tribe from Yemen. Uwais rahimahullah, he lived in the same era of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but did not physically meet the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this begs the question, if Uwais rahimahullah lived approximately 1,500 kilometers away from the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he never physically met the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, unknown to the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, an inconspicuous individual who was invisible to even those in his own community. Why then did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instruct Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to describe him to the ummah? Before we continue with the description of Uwais rahimahullah and the story related to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is a beautiful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we can reflect over in light of the story of Uwais. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Rubba ash'af madfu'in bil abwab law aqsama 'ala Allah la abarrah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, there are many individuals in my ummah who have dusty and disheveled hair, who are dressed in tattered clothes, who are driven away from the doors of people. People do not entertain them or invite them. But they are so well known before Allah. They are so acknowledged in the court of Allah that if they were to take a qasam in the name of Allah and take an oath in the name of Allah that something will happen, Allah will make that happen because of the oath that they had taken. Because of the promotion, the elevation, the recognition they enjoy in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one day a Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is seated with the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, and he says to them, Ya'ti alaykum Uwais ibn Amir ma'a amdadi ahli al-Yaman min Murad. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, listen, O my Sahaba, a time will come when a man by the name of Uwais, the son of Amir, will come to you and he will visit you. He will come to Al-Madinatul Munawwara in a group of travelers from Yemen. And he belongs to the Qarn tribe. And that is why he is known as Uwais al-Qarni. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then related his story to the Sahaba. Kana bihi baras. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, this man, he suffered from albinism, a rare skin disorder that affected his life seriously and drastically. He made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cure him. فَبَرَأَ مِنْهُ إِلَّا مَوْضِعَ دِرْهَمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cured him. Allah restored his skin to its normal state. But in a separate hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cure him, he said to Allah, da' fi jasadi minhu ma adhkuru bihi ni'amaka alayya. Oh Allah, when you do restore my skin to its natural state and you cure me of albinism, baras, then oh Allah, leave one area of my body which is the size of a coin, leave it uncured. Why? so that I look at it and I remember the bounty that you have conferred upon me. Uwais ibn Amir rahimahullah, he makes this dua. He is so beloved to Allah. He is so well known in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that this condition which is incurable, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers his dukli as he made the dua. So the first accolade or the first promotion, unique and exclusive promotion, that Uwais al-Qarni rahimahullah is awarded in the court of Allah is that of Mustajabud Da'wah. Mustajabud Da'wah is no ordinary promotion. There were Sahaba who asked the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to make dua to them that they are promoted and they are elevated to this special rank and this exclusive position in the court of Allah. Mustajabud Da'wah, the one, whenever he raises to make dua, Allah answers his dua because of that special promotion that he enjoys in the court of Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about Uwais bin Amir rahimahullah, that لو أقسم على الله لأبره. Uwais rahimahullah is so well known to Allah. He is so acknowledged by Allah that when he takes an oath by Allah that something would happen, Allah will certainly make it happen. The second accolade, the second promotion, another exclusive, unique promotion that he enjoys in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned in a separate hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ بِشَفَاعَةِ أُوَيْسٍ مِثْلُ رَبِيعَةَ وَمُضَرْ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he not only enjoys promotion in dunya, but do you know on the day of Qiyamah, large numbers of people will be taken out of Jahannam and granted admission into Jannah because of the intercession of Uwais. Another promotion, Uwais rahimahullah. The question, by which virtue, by which deed did Uwais rahimahullah reach such a privileged and elevated position in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Naturally, the Sahaba are eager to know. Every one of us, we are eager to know that here you have a man who is unknown to the people of the world, but Allah has described him to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He did not meet the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, he once came to Al-Madinatul Munawwarah and his mother gave him an instruction. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaks about the reason why did he receive this promotion before Allah. He says, لَهُ وَالِدَهُ هُوَ بِهَا بَرٌّ. He has a mother in whose service and care he is fully preoccupied. Being preoccupied with the service of his mother is what deprived him of meeting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He sacrificed the chance to reach the rank of Sahaba due to taking care of his elderly mother who lost her vision and turned blind. His father Amir rahimahullah was also a believer. He passed away at a young age. On one occasion, Uwais rahimahullah, can you imagine the extent of the desire he had to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, especially after he met the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in who came to Yemen and was sent by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The desire to meet the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was even more intense. He came and he sought permission from his mother. Oh my mother, allow me to travel to Al-Madinatul Munawwara. Reluctantly she allowed him. She says, go meet the Nabi of Allah. Do not exceed the duration of your stay. I want you back by this day and on this particular date. Uwais rahimahullah, he departs from Yemen. He undertakes the lengthy journey. He arrives in Al-Madinatul Munawwara. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam departed a few days earlier on a particular expedition and was not due to return for a lengthy period of time. He is in Al-Madinah Munawwarah. He could have extended his stay, sat for a few moments in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, acquired the rank of a Sahabi. But Uwais rahimahullah thinks about the instruction that his mother gave him. And the moment the duration expires, he returns to his mother without meeting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Elevation through service. Elevation through service to his mother. The number one elevator, the number one escalator, the number one promoter that raised him to a position envied by the Sahaba was service. Service to his mother. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was once given a tour of Jannah. This could have been on the occasion of Mi'raj or perhaps in a dream. While he was in Jannah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that I was strolling in the gardens of Jannah. فَسَمِعْتُ قِرَاءَ I heard recitation of the Quran. So I asked the angel, my tour guide, that who is this reciting the Quran in Jannah? So he said to me, Haritha ibn Nu'man. This is Haritha, the son of Nu'man, your companion. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is surprised. Haritha radiallahu ta'ala, who has not yet passed away. He is still on earth. Haritha ibn Nu'man is reciting the Quran in dunya and it is heard in Jannah. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is promotion, elevation in the court of Allah. Many of us do not even know the Sahabi Haritha ibn Nu'man. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaks about the reason why Haritha was promoted in this way, that he reads Quran in his home, it is heard in the palaces of Jannah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about him, kadhalikumul birr. كذلكم البر حارثة رضي الله تعالى عنه was one of the most kind people who remained in the service of his mother. واخفض لهما جناح الذل من الرحمة وقل رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. The imagery in this ayah is mind-blowing. In Arabic, this is a type of tashbih, we call it a metaphor. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes you in front of your mother, in front of your father, out there you are the sheikh, you are flying like a bird. Allah uses the parable of a bird. Out there you are the sheikh, you are flying. You are the alim, you are the leader, you are the CEO, you are the head of your institute, you are the judge. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says when you come before them, immediately like the bird, you land. وَخْفِضْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الظُّلْ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ Out of your kindness, you set all those accolades aside. And you land in front of them at their feet, like the bird when it comes down to the ground. And constantly make the dua for them. Allah says, it's an instruction from Allah. رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِ صَغِيرًا The parent, subhanallah, is the only one who still has a right over you and who still deserves your service and your kindness even after their demise. Usayd al-Sa'idi, Abu Su'ayd, Usayd al-Sa'idi, rahimahullah, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, one day we are seated with the Nabi of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِذْ جَاءَهُ رَجُلٌ مِنْ بَنِي سَلَمَ A man came to him. And he said, O Nabi of Allah, هَلْ بَقِيَ مِنْ بِرِّ أَبَوَيَّ شَيْءٌ أَبَرُّهُمَا بِهِ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهِمَا After my parents have passed away, are they still deserving of my kindness and my service? Do they still have a right over me after they have departed from this world? Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Naam, yes, of course. They still deserve your service, your care, and your kind treatment. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained how you will remain in their service after their demise. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, As-salatu alayhima, make dua for them, wal istighfar lahuma, seek forgiveness for them, wa infadu ahdihima min ba'dihima, fulfill their unfulfilled commitments. Fulfill their unfulfilled commitments after they have departed from this world. وَصِلَةُ الرَّحِمِ أَلَّتِي لَا تُوصَلُ إِلَّا بِهِمَا. Maintain family ties with their relatives. وَإِكْرَامُ صَدِيقِهِمَا. And make ikram, honor their friends. Take care of their friends. Look after their friends. They still have a right over you after they have departed from this world. And the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says to the Sahaba, فَإِنِ اسْتَطَعْتَ أَن يَسْتَغْفِرْ لَكَ فَفْعَلْ. When you meet Uwais, O my Sahaba, and according to one narration, he directly looked at Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He says, when you meet Uwais, ask him to make istighfar for you. Ask him to seek forgiveness for you. Subhanallah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passes away. The time of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu passes by. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu becomes the Khalifa, the leader of the believers and the leader of the Islamic state and the Islamic world. He remembers the instruction of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. 10 years, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu is in search of this man, Uwais al-Qarni rahimahullah. What do we learn from Umar? Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu is that towering figure and that giant whom Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described as لو كان بعدي نبي لكان عمر. If there was a Nabi after me, the Nabi would have been Umar. But Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu is restless. Every time a group of travelers come from Yemen, he inquires, is there a man by the name of Uwais amongst you? He's anxious. This teaches us that we should never develop complacency in deen. Never become satisfied with the level of knowledge, the level of piety, the level of religiosity, the level of spirituality that you enjoy. That is not a believer. I am never ever complacent. Umar radiallahu ta'ala is guaranteed entry into Jannah. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was so concerned and he was so dissatisfied with his spiritual state, even though he enjoyed accolade after accolade. He once went to Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, not Abu Dharr, it was Hudhaifa ibn al-Yaman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Hudhaifa was that sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who had the list of the munafiqeen, the list of the hypocrites. After Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, Umar radiallahu ta'ala went to him and he said, oh Hudhaifa, I do not want you to disclose the names of the munafiqeen to me, but I have one question. Is my name on that list? Complacency indeed is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has criticized. Never become complacent. Never ever feel satisfied. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran about the true believers, those who are elevated in akhirah, one source of elevation we learn is through the service to your mother. Next source of elevation we learn is by not adopting complacency and satisfaction in your level of deen. Allah says about the true believers, وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْتُونَ مَا آتَوْا. The true believers are those who carry out good deeds upon good deeds. They are fasting, they are praying salah, they are reciting the Quran, they are performing umrah after umrah. They are the most generous of people, but وَقُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِلَةٌ. Their hearts are in a state of constant fear. They are dissatisfied. With all the good that they are doing, they are still dissatisfied. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ. What is the natural outcome of that? When you are dissatisfied with your spiritual state, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they are the ones who race to do good deeds. You will want to do more and more because you trivialize what you have done. So you want to do more and more. You are not satisfied with being in the last saf. When there is opportunity, I want to be in the first saf. I am not satisfied with two rakats of salah at the time of Jumu'ah. After my two rakats on the day of Jumu'ah, I want to offer the other six rakats. I'm not satisfied with the two rakats. I am constantly seeking ways to improve. The natural outcome of dissatisfaction with your level of deen is you are encouraged and motivated to do more. And that's a sign of love for Allah. Think about one whom you truly love. You will want to do more and more and more for that person, come what may. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or through this reaction of Umar radiallahu ta'ala, we learn that the second source of promotion and elevation before Allah is dissatisfaction with the level of my deen. Always aiming for excellence in my relationship with Allah. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala is searching for this man always. Some of the travelers from Yemen, they actually asked Umar, we know Uwais, but what business do you have with Uwais? Uwais is a man who is a non-entity in our community. Majhulun fil ard. There are people who are majhulun fil ard. They are unknown on earth. Ma'rufun fis sama. They are famously acknowledged in the heavens by Allah and His angels. Dhunnun al-Misri rahimahullah, he would say, Inna Allah ta'ala akhfa wilayatahu fi ibadih. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept his wali, his friend, hidden amongst his servants. Don't ever, he says, despise any believer. Don't insult any believer. Don't criticize any believer. Do not ever look down on any believer, because that believer could be a wali in the court of Allah. There was a person who would criticize him, in fact. It was his cousin. With the wealthy people, what would he say? He would say he is after their money. When he would see Uwais with the poor people, what would he say? He says he's hanging around with them, looking for some sympathy. And Uwais, rahimahullah, he remained composed. What is the natural outcome of humility? This is humility. The third promoter, elevator, the third escalator that will promote you in the court of Allah is humility. The more you seek popularity, the more you chase for popularity, the more you desire popularity, the more unpopular you become in the court of Allah. So the natural outcome of humility is that in the face of provocation, you remain composed. And this was the quality of Uwais rahimahullah. The natural outcome of humility. When someone seeks to rile you up, someone seeks to get under your skin, what do? You remain composed. You remain calm. That is the natural outcome of humility. Uwais rahimahullah, he eventually arrives for Hajj. Umar radiallahu ta'ala meets him. Umar radiallahu ta'ala interviews him to find out if he is really Uwais. Umar radiallahu ta'ala starts asking him certain questions. Umar radiallahu ta'ala asks to see that spot of albinism that still remains on his body. He discloses it, he shows it to Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Umar radiallahu ta'ala says to him, you are Uwais, please make istighfar for me. Raise your hands, ask Allah to forgive me. Uwais rahimahullah says, Awa mithli yastaghfir li mithlik. You are Amir al-Mu'minin, you are Umar ibn al-Khattab. How can I seek forgiveness on your behalf? And that's when Umar radiallahu ta'ala described the entire narration to him of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to us that we should seek from you that you make dua for us. Umar radiallahu ta'ala asked him, where are you heading to? He says, I'm going to Kufa. My mom has passed away. The one in whose service I remained for a lengthy period of time. The one through whom Allah promoted me. My young brother, wallahi, there is nothing more effective than being elevated and promoted in dunya and akhirah. There is nothing more effective than service to your parents, and especially your mother. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala says, you are going to Kufa. I'm going to write to the governor of Kufa to honor you, to include you amongst the prominent people of Kufa. He says, Umar, no. La uhibbu an abqa fi ghabara'in, to be an ordinary person. Ordinary person in the community. Majhulun fil ard, ma'rufun fis sama, unknown to the people in this world, very well known to Allah. Not much is known about Uwais al-Qarni regarding his demise. According to some, he was killed in one of the battles during the time of Ali radiallahu ta'ala. What we have learned is promotion that carries weight, promotion with meaning, recognition that has meaning, is recognition in the court of Allah. How does one acquire this recognition? Through service to your parents, remaining dissatisfied with the good that you do, always aiming for excellence. Number three is humility, remaining humble and not allowing yourself to become riled up and annoyed by those who seek to annoy you. Once Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, the great grandson of Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he was Amir al-Mu'mineen at the time. Great man. He entered the masjid when it was dark. There was a Bedouin, a villager, sleeping in the masjid. So it was dark. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, the Amir al-Mu'mineen, he tripped over him. He did not see him. So this Bedouin, he got up and he said to Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, "Anta himarun? Are you a donkey?" Umar ibn al-Aziz, all he says, "La, ana Umar." No, I am Umar. So someone asked him, that's all? He says, he asked me a question, if I'm a donkey. I told him, no, I am Umar. Tawadu, humility. This stems from humility, the natural outcome of humility. How do we develop humility? There are so many ways. Quickly, dua, past Allah. Constantly make dua to Allah for humility. Engagement in menial tasks and acts. Take part every now and again. Carry out such acts that you feel are below your position, below your qualification, below your status. Deliberately do such acts. We have so many examples amongst the great ulama and the pious people who deliberately chose to do acts that they considered, or that people considered, were below their great status and their high qualifications. And of course, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us one of the most effective ways of attaining humility is by greeting every Muslim. Sometimes you feel that person should come up and greet me. It is beyond my status and my rank to go to him and to greet him. Practice this and you will find how through this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will replace that sense of superiority and that sense of pride with humility. And once you develop that humility, you will earn recognition and promotion, elevation in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah grant us the understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.